Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Swartz, Culleton guest line, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, entering his fourth season, Brett Brown. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hey,
Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, so many things to talk to you about, so little time, so we'll get right to it. One, your thought when asked to be representative of the team at the lottery next week.
I mean, just very honored. It's something the city, all of us, we've all gone through a lot in the past 3 years, and to sit up there on the stage and anticipate and then ultimately realize what our pick is going to be. I said many times, it's probably one of the few nights where you do feel nervous. You know, you're sitting there watching your fate determined a little bit by a ping pong ball. And I'm just very honored to have that role in this year's lottery.
You got any good luck charm you're going to bring in with you?
You know, I'm not sort of wired like that. I will have my son accompany me just for the experience, but I look forward to, you know, just enjoying it. This is my, 16th NBA draft. And in my family, especially in my role here with Philadelphia, it was always, can you get to the commercial? If you got to the commercial, you know, you knew you were at least in the three. And we hope to do a little better this year, but very excited for the opportunity.
I just caught on to that. If they haven't pulled our card by the time we get to the commercial, we're good. Okay,
that's it.
I just thought, and I think bringing your son, Coach, is a good idea. Let's face it, Dan Gilbert has sent kids up there. Milwaukee sent his owner sent his daughter up there, although she wasn't like a kid, though. She was a little older. But so bringing your son, I believe, is a good luck charm.
Will Sam Brown be there sitting on, you know, in your stead, or just
No. The Browns aren't wired like that. He'll be off in some corner just taking it all in. I mean, I've talked many times, to have the privilege to have your family, your children, you know, go to an all-star game, an Olympic games, an NBA game, a NBA lottery. It's one of the true treats of my profession, and I'm lucky to share this experience with him, too. So I thought, why not? We'll get him out of school and bring him to New York.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you're allowed to speak on these guys coming out right now, Coach, or not, but just can you give us just your thoughts? We know you don't know where you're picking at just yet, but just the guys at the top of the draft and just your sort of view of them as players and their game translating to the NBA. Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, Buddy Hield, guys like that. If you just real quick, your thoughts on them.
And, you know, I wish I could talk on that just with the NBA rules.
That's what I figured, yeah.
It's interesting, though. I coached Ben Simmons' father for 5 years in Australia in the late 80s, and I've known his family and Ben his whole life. And, you know, you look at his evolution, very ironic that he's ended up where he's ended up in this position. Watching the draft, watching the higher end of the draft, watching the NCAA playoffs, you can't help but always, you know, play the game like all of us do. Where does the ping pong ball fall? Do we get the Lakers pick? If you got the first pick, what would you do? If you got 1-4, what would you do? If you fell to 4, what would you do? I think all of us, when you start looking at the math, the real math behind the probabilities of getting whatever pick we got, in front of me, I'm looking at a board that says, you know, first pick is 26.9, second pick is 22.6%. Third pick is 18.6%. And the fourth pick is actually the highest at 36%. And so, you know, you start looking at it, you can appreciate the probability and the chances a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at your team, let me put it this way then. When you look at your team, Coach, is this a draft where you say you just take best player available, or are you trying to find someone that fits with some of the pieces that you could potentially have on the floor for yourself next year? Is that part of your selection yourself, Brian Colangelo? Is it about what fits with your big man that you have, or is it just get the best player available and then figure out how everything works itself in?
I think we're a little past get the best player available, and it's a little bit easier for me to say that because when you look at the higher end of the draft by most, you know, draft boards and people's opinion, which we agree with, is their wings. You know, when you look at the abundance of bigs that we have, this year's draft favors us a little bit more. If we are successful in getting the highest pick that we can, it would tilt, according to many mock drafts, to equal a small, a perimeter player. So I think, you know, for that, by that standard, by that measurement, I feel like we're going to be in pretty good shape. I mean, think about the options that we have. When you got a certain 1 through 4, maybe 2 in the top 4, a certain 24th pick, which was Miami's, a certain 26th pick, which was Oklahoma City's, you really have a chance to make some noise in the first round. And so all over the place, you know, no matter where the ping pong ball falls, we feel like we're at a really exciting time to sort of redirect the program.
Talking to Sixers head coach Brett Brown on the Swartz Cullerton guest line. Well, let's talk a little bit about a player that you have drafted but who's not currently in the United States. I don't know if he's ever been to the United States, and that's Dario Saric. And Brian Colangelo said the other day on Comcast Sportsnet that the two of you were going to take a flight over to Istanbul and pay him a little visit. When will that happen, and what do you hope to accomplish there?
In regards to when it will happen, we're trying to figure out our own schedule. Tomorrow morning, I'll be going to Chicago for the pre-draft workouts with Brian and everybody else. I think we have a traveling party of 8 or 9 people. When we get back, we'll have a better understanding of where Dario's team is playing. Their season is still progressing, and we'll go to Istanbul and see him play and just simply talk with him. I went over last year and spent some good quality time with him. Saw him play a few games, you know, had several meals with him. And I think just keeping him in the loop of what we're doing here in Philadelphia, following his progress, continuing to build a relationship, all those things, you know, come to my mind. He still, as everybody knows, will have the option to stay in Europe if he chooses. He has gone on record and said that's not his prerogative. It's not his desire. He hopes to play in the NBA with us. And so I think in the next few months, you know, we will know more. But the trip right now is sort of based on that.
If he does elect to stay in Europe one more season, I know that it would be more beneficial financially for him. But would the Sixers still retain his rights?
I believe so. You know, I think, we would. We most okay. definitely would. And I feel like that speculation that you're talking about, it is real. It's important to keep it nice and transparent. That is a possibility. I don't know. My gut feel and the progressive conversations that we have had, I believe without doubt he wants to come to the NBA. So only with time we will know, but I feel like that will happen in the next probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Talking to Brett Brown, we have yet to have the opportunity to speak with you since Brian Colangelo has come on board. How has your relationship with him progressed, how's it going?
It's going well. You know, I don't know Brian. I did not know Brian. I knew many people that we shared common friends with that spoke very highly of him. He's come in obviously with a great basketball background. Has led, you know, 2 organizations, and I think to just sit down with him and bump into him every morning here in the office and play what do you think stuff is just a real treat for me. You know, you come in, you're just bouncing ideas off each other. You're talking about the playoff games, which I just am blown away by, that are going on as we speak, and sharing thoughts on what it really takes to play in May and June. You know, you're seeing qualities, you're seeing skill packages of players that have the ability to play at this time of year, which is very rare. And they're very dramatic. I think they stand out. Some of the things that we see, we'll try to flush out when we get in front of people in Chicago tomorrow at the draft workouts and with the individual meetings. But, you know, so far, I've really just enjoyed spending time with Brian, and I'm excited what he brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that intrigues me about Brian Colangelo being here is, I would say, style of play, right? You know, you guys, I don't know if you guys nailed down how you envision your team playing, what style of play you want to play it. But when I look at the playoffs, Coach, and I'm wondering if you see it this way as well, seems to be an awful lot of jump shooting going on in the playoffs, and whether it's three-pointers, mid-range game, that seems to have reestablished itself in the NBA. It's not all about the high-flying dunks and playing in the paint. A lot of jump shooting going on. Is that the way you sort of see teams headed to be successful in the NBA, becoming more of a perimeter-oriented team?
I agree with you on the volume of threes that we're seeing, first being attempted, then second, and most importantly, being made. I mean, the skill package with some of the players that are playing now, to me, off the charts. You know, they are truly shot makers, not just shot takers, and these guys stand out. I think that the good teams, I stand by this, still recognize, you know, if you got Joel Embiid or you got Jahlil Okafor, well, you know, they may need the ball. I think watching Toronto close games out where Valanciunas did have some post touches, some paint catches, that stood out. Then you can go to the other extreme and you watch, you know, Cleveland just have an unbelievable success from the perimeter. You know, last night the game with Portland and Golden State, I mean, what a fantastically skilled game that was, an exciting game. I believe that it gets back to the talents of your best players, but I hear you in saying that there has been a lot of threes and perimeter shots taken lately.
Lastly, you mentioned Joel Embiid. How's he doing? What are your expectations for him relative to summer workouts, if not the summer league? And how much do you think he'll play next year?
Well, he's downstairs beneath me as we speak, getting a lift and a workout. I had a chance to work him out personally a few days ago, and the instruction from the medical staff all around us as we go nice and smart, nice and carefully, nice and slow relative to his pace. I think that he's coming along tremendously. I feel like from a maturity standpoint and the reality of the professionalism that is required for him to be money and just perfect with the rehab, prehab, nutrition, all that with his foot is ever present in Joel Embiid. And I think that he is all over the place on track to have a solid first year. You know, there could be minute restrictions on his first year where we start out the season slowly with him. But in general, I know he's just so excited to get out and play basketball again.
But it's your view, and I don't know if you can put a percentage on it, that game number one, he's on the floor for the Sixers playing.
That is my belief. Yeah, that is my strong belief.
Okay. Brett, thanks for your time. We know you can't talk about talent. We just want to let you know that Ike and I are huge Thon Maker fans. And if you get a chance to grab him in the second round, this kid's going to be something.
Don't have any second round picks.
Well, not in current time. I mean, you know, with this team, you don't know.
Yeah. But we're just throwing our hat in the ring for Thon Maker, coach.
And you realize that's an Aussie, right? You understand that?
Oh, we did not know that. Yeah. I didn't know he was an Aussie.
Well, he's in Canada now, though, right?
That is correct. There is a strong Sudanese population in Sydney. And, you know, some really highly skilled athletes, and some of them have chosen to play basketball. And there was a gentleman, Ed Smith, that brought him to Canada to sort of better hone up his skills. And so, yes, the Australians still claim him, but as we speak, he is in Canada.
Got it. Now, we're not saying take him at one. Okay, so just...
I hear you.
Brett, thanks for your
time. Appreciate it, Coach.
Best of luck. Congratulations on going to the lottery, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for having me.
You know it. That's Brett Brown on the Swartz Culleton guest line. And if you're out of work, get justice. Call Swartz Culleton at 800-JUSTICE.
I don't know about you.
But...
feel pretty good about Thon.
Me too. And guess what? Thon and Ben.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're
that's
not.
That's the other thing. Yeah, you're right, though. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Australian.
Yeah. You know. All that familiarity with Ben Simmons. Yeah, you're right.
Some of my
guns. Known him since he was a kid.
All right, we'll open up the phone lines.
Here's a get-in-the-know fact from TransUnion.com. Every 2 seconds in the U.S., someone's credit is compromised. In the average inning, that's more than 600 new victims. In an entire game, that's more than 5,000. Now, imagine if the pitcher likes to take his time. At TransUnion, they go beyond your credit score to give you the tools you need to keep your credit safe and healthy. Get in the know at TransUnion.com.